From the heartland of America, the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the secret teachers of the Western world. But, oh, what a program we have in store for you tonight. Here's what's happening. This, during the week of Hanukkah, the high holy period for those of the Jewish faith, Iran violates UN resolutions and launches a test missile. Can you believe that? Iran has carried out a new medium-range ballistic missile test in breach of two United Nations Security Council resolutions. Western intelligence says the test was held November 21st. I don't know what took them so long to find out about it, near a port city in southeast Iran, near the border with Pakistan. The launch took place from a known missile test site along the Gulf of Oman. And I got to tell you, so you're going to give Iran the right to work with its nuclear program. They're saying they're not going to make a bomb, but they're already violating UN resolutions. The investigation into the jihadist couple who massacred 14 people in San Bernardino, California last week is pointing to Pakistan as the likely source of the pair's radicalization, a development that threatens to expose once again the tenuous relations between the U.S. and that country accused of once harboring al-Qaeda founder and 9/11 mastermind Osama bin Laden. Douglas Hagman, of course, private investigator and head of the Northeast Intelligence Network. Douglas, always good to talk with you. And I wanted your take on this entire situation with ISIS, Doug. I mean, is it ever going to end?
No. In fact, this is not even the beginning. George, we've been monitoring a lot of terrorist websites, sympathetic websites or sites sympathetic to terrorists, and Arabic language web forums and such. And what we're seeing is this. We believe, based on our investigations, that there will be another attack and the next attack, and there will be one, possibly and even likely before the end of the year, that's going to rival or overtake the Paris attack, and it's going to focus primarily on retail or transportation targets here in the United States. And we're looking at really a homegrown, fully funded, well-funded, well-rooted, organized at the highest levels, if you will, organization in terms of ISIS. We're looking at ISIS using, and this is something we've never seen before, branding tactics that rival Madison Avenue, propaganda videos that look like Hollywood-created blockbusters, and really this virtual footprint that we can't even keep up with. You're looking at well over 50,000 social networking accounts, Twitter accounts, more than 250,000 social media posts a day. Jeez. And this is what we are looking at today, right now. And the number of infiltrators here in this country, well, anywhere between, I'm going to say, 25,000 to 125,000, depending on who you ask and what report you read.
Okay, Doug, thank you for the updates. Always good to hear from you. And if we don't talk to you before Christmas, Merry Christmas to you and your family. The Supreme Court has rejected an appeal from gun owners who challenged a Chicago suburb's ban on assault weapons. The justices refused to hear the case of a Highland Park, Illinois pediatrician who objected to the city's 2013 ban on semi-automatic weapons and large-capacity magazines. In California, authorities have arrested the mother of a baby who was found buried alive near a Southern California bike path the day after Thanksgiving. Just a horribly sad story. People heard cries, and they found the baby buried in a small little hole covered up with loose sand and soil. The baby's okay. It was taken to the hospital in stable condition. Unbelievable story there. More than seven decades after the Japanese torpedo bombers sunk the USS Oklahoma in the shallow waters of Pearl Harbor, scientists have now engaged in a new push to identify the victims, the bones of hundreds of unidentified sailors and Marines who died on the morning of December 7th, 1941, 74 years ago, currently being tested by the government in order to appropriately entomb the fallen. Of course, who can forget that fateful day on December 7th, 1941? Global emissions of carbon dioxide are likely to stall and even decline slightly this year, according to new data. Researchers say it's the first time this has happened while the global economy has continued to grow. The falloff is due to reduced coal use in China, as well as faster uptake of renewables, according to the scientists involved in that study. Wall Street started the week in the red as energy and raw material stocks took a hit, with oil prices falling to their lowest level in nearly 7 years. Ms. Shedlock, our registered investment advisor, how low can the oil go?
That's a good question, George. Gas prices in some places are down below $1.50 a gallon. In places in Indiana and Texas, they're $1.39 a gallon. That was actually last week. That was before the dip today, 6% dip today, 7-year low. We've not had a closing low at this price, a monthly closing low in oil, since 2004. So that's how far back we're going here now. I think it's a sign of two things, or several things. First, we've got a weakening global economy. Mm-hmm. Second, we've got oil production up in the United States, in spite of the fact it's not even profitable at these prices. Rig count is down 60%, but gas and oil production in the United States is only down 3%. So a lot of factors here in play. And, you know, central banks, George, in their effort to spur inflation here, they reduced the price of interest rates so that corporations could go out there and borrow money. They did. They borrowed money. They invested in rigs. And now we're having an energy bust. Same thing happened in 2005 and 2006. They lowered the price of interest. People went out and bought houses. We had a housing bust. George, I really think the economy is on the last legs here, and
oh boy,
this is it.
All right, Bish, checking with you later. In a moment, get ready, folks. CriticalHealthNews.com's Dr. Joel Wallach joins us to give you some tips for a couple hours on how you can live a little longer. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Now, every month we highlight Dr. Joel Wallach from Critical Health News. They are a major sponsor of Coast to Coast, wanting to get the word out about health and supplements and things that can help you through your day. And Joel gives us just incredible information. Doc Wallach, of course, is also a noted author as well and has published a number of peer-reviewed journal articles about nutrition and pharmaceutical research. And I can't think of a better time to have you back right before Christmas, Doc. Welcome back.
Thank you, George. I always appreciate your hospitality and all the great work you do.
Well, we're trying. We're in the trenches doing what we do, to be sure. You know, I was reading a study today about various states that have longer lifespans than other states. Like if you live in Hawaii, you'll generally live longer than somebody who lives in Mississippi. Why is that, Doc?
Well, when you look at a profile of the continental United States and you go county by county, the old Confederate states and the Great Lakes states and the Indian reservations in the Southwest have the shortest lifespans by 25 years compared to, say, central United States, upper Midwest, and the Plain states. They live 25 years longer than the people in these other states. And the reason is there's little or no minerals in the soil in the old Confederate states and the Great Lakes states, the Indian reservations out in the Southwest. And everybody in those areas eat everything fried. So they're getting trans fats, heterocyclamines, acrylamides, which are worse than anything that the Monsanto or Dow Chemical Company can make.
I was
that combination is fatal.
I was reading also a report that said avoid eating anything heavily burned or toasted because it kicks up a toxin in the food and it could get you with cancer. Joel, is there anything safe anymore?
Oh, absolutely. You can eat some nice poached eggs. You can have air popcorn. Ice cream is safe. I love ice cream. you can have steamed vegetables of all kinds. And you have to avoid, as it said, I've been saying this for years, and the World Health Organization came out in the middle of October and said that processed meats, deli slices, sandwich meat, sausage, ham, bacon, bologna, they increase your risk of cancer at the same rate as smoking and working in an asbestos environment does. And I said that since 71, and everybody laughed at me. But when you cook your meat well done, it increases the risk of breast cancers for ladies by 462%.
Jeez.
So if a lady eats her steak or hamburger cooked well done, where the fat is seriously browned or even burnt, she's going to get breast cancer.
At what age do you recommend that people start watching what they eat and how they take care of themselves?
George, I think it should start before a person is conceived. I think 6 months before they're conceived, the parents-to-be should be avoiding all the bad stuff. They should be taking all 90 essential nutrients, 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 3 fatty acids. Waiting until a woman has missed 2 periods to start being concerned about taking prenatal vitamins and avoiding the bad stuff because now she's pregnant is 10 weeks too late. The embryo is already damaged, and the rest of us are going to pay for it. And right now, the word is, by all experts, that our children, yours and mine and people of our age, will be the first generation of Americans who do not live as long as their parents. You think about it, George.
Jeez.
The parents of Steve Jobs buried him at age 56. Iwata from Nintendo, the CEO of Nintendo, his parents buried him at 55. And Joe Biden, the vice president of the United States, buried his son, Beau, at 47. And this is all happening because the medical system has failed us terribly and not given the proper advice on to supplement. You cannot get what you need from your food. And this old adage of you just eat 4 different colors on your plate and eat 4 different food groups and you get everything you need is so far wrong that somebody needs to go to jail here.
Well, you make some speeches about that and you get incredible response. People are getting tired, Doc. They're getting tired of being pushed around, taken advantage of. I can't tell you how many stories we have on the program where E. coli or salmonella has popped up in the food system, the food source. I mean, who do you trust anymore?
Well, it's one of those things where you can't trust anybody. We have to be self-sufficient. We have to look out for our families, look out for ourselves, look out for our neighbors. And so it's bigger than actually trusting the medical system. It's bigger than trusting the government, for goodness sakes. They have failed us terribly. And so we have to be knowledgeable enough to be very, very, very good with our personal hygiene. Okay, and of course, we're very careful with that part when it comes to the longevity products. We're very careful about, we actually have a CD out that covers quality of supplements in general. And what people need to look for, make sure they're safe. And so we try to educate the public. But personal hygiene, just opening these doors that have the push plates, those things are covered in E. coli. Doctors don't wash their hands after they go potty, George. The Center for Disease Control, a federal agency that tracks this stuff, came out in March of, 2008, And also in March of 1998, they said that medical doctors cause 2 million infections in hospitals from one bug called C. diff, Clostridium difficile, 2 million infections each year, but they don't wash their hands after they go potty. And of those 2 million infections, George, 90,000 Americans die each year in American hospitals from infections given to them by doctors.
90,000, unbelievable.
90,000 every year.
Jeez. How many die, Doc?
What if Iran or North Korea were to send over an intercontinental ballistic missile with a biological weapon and infect 2 million Americans in a large population center like L.A. or Dallas, Texas, or Denver, or Minneapolis, or New York, or New Jersey, and infect 2 million people and kill 90,000? It'd be a war. Well, here's one trade, the medical profession, that does it each year, year after year after year, and nobody does anything. So we have to take care of ourselves because the medical profession has not only failed us by not doing the right things, they kill us more than all the enemy. I mean, think about it. Medical doctors kill 90,000 people each year in their workplace. They don't even get an OSHA ticket.
And how many people are dying from overprescribed pharmaceuticals?
Ouch. That's a big one.
It is.
Yeah, well, just from decimal point problems, Eastern, this came out in 2006 by the Institute of Medicine, the division of the American Medical Association that looks out for the ethics, make sure the doctor is supposed to be doing their ethics. They have failed us badly. But anyway, they came out with a study, and they said in 2006 that just because of decimal point errors, just decimal point errors by the prescribing doctor for dosages, by the decimal point errors by the fulfilling pharmacist, 1.5 million fatalities and permanent injuries here in America.
Geez. I mean, you go in to get help, and you end up dying.
Yes. Now, drug dealers in America, each year, I mean, we're talking about slimy, HIV-infected, dirty, scaly drug dealers kill 10,000 people a year in America. You're safer going to one of these scumbag drug dealers on the street than you are going to a doctor.
Jeez. We're with Dr. Joel Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com. He has set up a toll-free number to give you some help and advice. They're not doctors on the other end, but they will help you. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And as we do so with Dr. Joel Wallach when he's on the program, we open up the phone lines a little earlier so he can give you some specific advice that will hold up to everybody who listens in who might have some of the same problems and same situations. It is amazing, Doc, how the body reacts and tries to take care of itself, isn't it?
Well, you're exactly right, George. It's always fascinating to me. The body wants to heal itself. The body has all the equipment to do that. And this is where the medical system really, really fails badly. They don't know what they don't know. And they live in an area where they believe you can get everything you need nutritionally just by eating four different food groups. They are so naive. I mean, a worm knows more about nutrition than they know. And people trust them because they have a white coat on, a stethoscope, and they say doctor in front of their name. And they know nothing about nutrition. They know nothing. And, of course, that's the basic need of every vertebrate, whether you're a snake or an alligator or a hummingbird or a human being or a giraffe or a rat or a dog or a turtle or a fish. We all require certain things necessary to maximize our genetic potential for longevity and health and fending off disease and accomplishing what we can. A gene is just a blueprint, but it needs all these raw materials. And the ambulance, remember, George, I'm a veterinarian as well as a primary care physician.
Right.
And in the animal industry, we don't have health insurance. So as a result, we learned how to triple lifespans of animals. We've learned how to eliminate 900 different diseases that still plague people. We've eliminated every birth defect you can name and 10 times that many you can't, simply by giving every species of animals you can think of, farm animals, pet animals, zoo animals, all 90 essential nutrients in optimal amounts based on body weight. And human beings are still told by the FDA and the physicians, just eat well, you get everything you need. It's insane.
Your St. Louis Zoo is still heralded as one of the best zoos in the country, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's where I did that big study with the National Institutes of Health. It's called the Center for the Biology and Natural Systems. Marlon Perkins, the St. Louis Zoo, Washington University, and the Shaw's Botanical Gardens. They actually called me back from Africa. I was in the White Rhino Conservation Project and the African Elephant Conservation Project. And they sent me a letter and invited me back to be the pathologist on that project. And make a long story short, over a period of 12 years, George, on that project, I did 20,000 autopsies, 17,000 and some change of over 154 species of animals and 3,000 humans, 10 million chemistries, 10 million slides of special stains, looking for pollution as the cause of death from natural causes. What I found out was genetics are not involved, pollution wasn't involved, but every animal of these 454 species and every human being that died what we call natural causes died of a nutritional deficiency.
Yep, and we're going to talk more about that with Dr. Joel Wallach, 1-855-949-RADIO or criticalhealthnews.com. Okay, welcome back to Coast with Dr. Joel Wallach, criticalhealthnews.com. Doc, is there a certain time of year that people tend to, I don't want to say slip in taking care of themselves, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, holidays? I know it's something you should watch and monitor, you know, for the entire year, but are there slippage points?
Well, that's a good observation, George. There are certainly when you have holidays, birthdays, you know, that they say, you know, I really am gluten intolerant and I shouldn't be eating cake, but this is grandma's birthday, for goodness sakes, and we'll just fudge a little bit here. And just that one time is enough to get people killed. You really have to be very, very careful. And you can't be eating fried foods. You can't be eating sugar. You got to stay away from this. Even, for instance, one slice of bread, whether it's whole grain, multigrain, even if it's gluten-free bread, George, one slice raises your blood sugar faster and higher than a heaping tablespoon of table sugar.
Well,
so these simple things we think of, well, I'm just going to fudge a little bit. Come on, I can handle it. These things are enough to kill you.
Doc, you're going to get calls about type 2 diabetes, I'm sure, from our listeners, but I want to ask you something. How bad is this granulated sugar that you buy in the store?
Well, granulated sugar is just calories, just pure calories. It has no nutritional value. There's no requirement for sugar. It's not one of the essential nutrients. We can make all the sugar we need from fats and proteins in our liver. So we really don't need it, but it makes things taste attractive. It's sweet. It's also a source of quick energy, but it's not required. And so, I mean, I have been consciously avoiding sugar for 35 years. I have not eaten bread in 30 years and pasta and all that kind of stuff. Even the gluten-free stuff, I just don't eat it. And I've gotten along well with just vegetables and eggs and vegetables and meat and vegetables and poultry and vegetables and fish. And, of course, I've been taking the 90 essential nutrients, 16 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 3 fatty acids, twice a day for 68 years, George. And, it's, you know, I get 4 hours of sleep every night. I work 20 hours a day. I'm in a different airplane going to a different town just about every night. So I can attest it. And I haven't been to a doctor in 16 years, haven't had a cold in 68 years, no surgery, never been on a prescription drug. My pulse is 90, or excuse me, my pulse is, of, I'd say, 39 to 49 all the time. My blood pressure is 90 over 60 without medication. And so I can attest it. Most people think I look like I'm 50 years old and I'm 75. And so if you do the right stuff, you're going to benefit.
And like I said, you're a cheap date for lunch.
That's true.
Because I was at a health expo when I met Doc Wallach for the first time, and everybody was having dinner, and so everybody was ordering. And I'll give it to you, Doc, you did order too, but he pulls out a handful of supplements and vitamins, and he separates them. You know, he puts them in little sections, and he takes them, you know, in little groupings at a time. And I just made the remark at the dinner that was his dinner, and he was a cheap date. But you do that every day, don't you?
Yes, sir, twice a day. Been doing it for 68 years, and I have about 10,000 people who've been working with me, so 15, 20, 25 years, who do the same. And this whole group is getting the same benefits. And if you're obsessive about doing the good things and obsessive about avoiding the bad things, you can easily add 25 to 50 healthy years to your life. And this is very important right now because experts are saying, George, that our generation will be the first generation whose children will not live as long as us. Now, we can change that prediction by doing things differently. But if you stand by and just let things continue to go as they're going, most of the American people will be burying their children. Their children will not live as long as them. So we must change constantly, and consciously we must change so that we can avoid these pitfalls. It's avoidable. It's not inevitable, but if we do nothing, the prediction will come true.
All right, let's take some calls with Dr. Joel Wallach. Those of you who can't get through to us, there's a toll-free number, 1-855-949-RADIO. Or criticalhealthnews.com. It was a great idea, by the way, to start that, Joel, several years ago. And I'm glad you came to me about it because our network just said, you know what, you're helping people, you're doing well, we're going to take a chance with them. And everybody's been happy with you. Let's
appreciate to get the information out, George. You're doing a great job, and we just love our relationship.
Let's go to Denise in Tampa, Florida to get things started. Hey, Denise, welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm so glad to hear that Dr. Wallach is on tonight. I'm so excited. And I'm a long-time listener.
Well, thank you.
Days, so I have two questions, one on bentonite clay and the other one on water, which is the life source, of everything for downing our many of our vitamins. So the first thing is on the drinking water. I have a distilled system so that I could get the fluoride out of my water. Do I have to, will it leach out the vitamins and minerals that are already in my body? That was my first question. And do I need to take like concentrates of minerals or something to add into the water every time I drink water? And the second question is bentonite clay, which pulls out the heavy metals, but doesn't it also pull out all of the good metals that are in our bodies that we need, like, you know, some silver and other natural minerals that are metal-based, you know?
Well, those are two very good questions, and they come up constantly, and they're reasonable questions. Distilled water is good because it's clean. There's nothing in it but H2O. That's very good. But as you point out, it's hungry water. It doesn't like to be distilled water. It wants to find minerals to kind of balance itself out. And certainly it will pull minerals out of your body. And so what we recommend, and we've been doing this, like I say, for a long time, 50, 60 years, you want to add 1 ounce of the organic plant minerals, which are a colloid, not a solution, but it's a suspension, it's a colloid, but 1 ounce per quart of water. And this will make distilled water a safe water. Okay? Now, we also like to use what we call quanta water. It's a structured water. It's not an alkaline water, but a structured water. And what it does is it lowers the surface tension of the surface of your intestine so that you're going to absorb more nutrients. It also, I like to use it to put our crystals and our powder supplements into rather than tap water because the lower surface tension, you get a much easier suspension. In other words, crystals don't clump up. And it's called quanta water, and we make this available. And so we just like that to make sure that everybody's getting the maximum amount of benefit from their supplements and avoiding problems with hungry water. Then the bentonite clay is very interesting. It's used to clean oil off of floors or garages and things like that. It's a very, very good adsorbent. It will bind itself to things.
Yeah, I used to take a teaspoon a day of that, Doc.
Yeah, and for many, many years, gosh, I mean, going back 100 years, in some countries today, it's still something that people use traditionally as a condiment, along with salt and pepper and other things, because it is a source of minerals. However, bentonite clay is a inorganic source of minerals. Okay, and so your percentages are way down, maybe 10, 12%, compared to the colloids, which is up to 98% absorbability. So these are things to consider. I like to use bentonite clay as a fertilizer for gardens because plants will take it up very easily if the pH in the soil is correct. And so it's a great source of minerals for plants because the plants will maybe get 60, 70% out of it. We can only get maybe 10, 12%. And again, it's an adsorbent, which means it binds onto everything. And if a person that knows they've been poisoned with something, or you fear that, you know, you've been to a dentist and he's been pulling out your mercury fillings, bentonite clay or even charcoal are good things to take to bind onto these minerals, including mercury and lead, to bind them so you can get them out of your body safely. And so, you know, many things are a two-edged sword. And just like distilled water is a two-edged sword, just like bentonite clay is a two-edged sword. It has many, many good points, and some things you do have to know how to deal with it to prevent problems.
Good advice, Doc. Good advice. How did you get involved in all this? I know you grew up in Missouri, right? And
yes.
You went to the University of Missouri. You got your degree in veterinary medicine. But what got you into the supplement end of this?
Okay, well, this goes back to when I was 9 years old, George, and long before university. And I'm a farm kid, and I had for 5 years, starting when I was four, it's the Tourette syndrome today. Back then, they didn't really have a name for it.
Right.
I was getting facial tics. You know, I'd be grunting and making pig-like noises and squinting my eyes, and all my friends at school thought I was possessed by the devil kind of thing. It got progressively worse from age 5 to 9. At that point, I was really disabled, and so my mom took me to an eye doctor in St. Louis, a very famous eye doctor for some reason. She was a medical doctor. Her name was Mary Jane Skeffington. And I'll never forget, and she examines me, the first doctor I'd ever been examined by, and I was kind of embarrassed because I'm a 9-year-old boy. And she says to my mother, look, I can't find anything wrong with him physically, but he's got long eyelashes, and I think they're hitting his glasses, curling back and tickling his eyeballs. That's what's making him squint and grunt and so forth. And so I said, well, what are you going to do about it? And she says, well, here's a Maybelline eyelash brush. I want you to retrain your eyelashes. They're not tickling your eyeballs, and that should stop the problem. Well, I'm 9 years old, and I'm just a dumb farm boy, but I knew that couldn't be true. So the next day in school, when everybody else went to lunch, I went to the library, and I asked the librarian, were there any health books in there? And she pointed to the corner and said, yeah, we have some medical dictionaries and some PDRs, physician's desk references, and some nurses' handbooks and Merck manuals back there. And so I went back at 9 years old, and I'm kind of flipping through this stuff, and I ran into this nurse's health book, and it was kind of a reference for nurses, and it had easy language for a 9-year old. And so I started looking in the index for eyelashes things, eyelid things. I couldn't find anything. So I went down through the index. I went through the A's and B's and got down into the C's. I found the word cramps. I heard athletes talking about cramps. I said, well, maybe it's a face cramp. And I went to the page it said to go to, and it said it's a calcium deficiency. Well, in the morning, before the bus would pick me up to take me to school, one of my chores, George, was to feed vitamin and mineral-enriched alfalfa pellets to the bull calves that we were going to sell at auction. And so I would read the labels, and sure enough, I would remember there was minerals in there, including calcium. That day after school, I ran to the barn and began to eat those vitamin minerals and rich alfalfa pellets.
Genius.
Next morning, I threw the cereal out to the chickens in the yard, and I began to put these alfalfa pellets in my cereal bowl with milk, and my mother took them away. My dad gave them back to me. And so every morning, I'd have my alfalfa pellets were enriched with vitamins and minerals. And after school, I'd eat my little alfalfa pellets as kind of a snack, eating them like potato chips or cookies. And in 3 days' time, I was cured after 5 years of getting worse and worse and worse. And I knew when I was 9 years old that the doctor didn't know what she was talking about and that vitamins and minerals were important. And so I began to study it at age 9. And so I went to the agricultural school at the University of Missouri because I wanted to study more about the things we were doing for animals. Why were we spending so much time and effort and money giving vitamins and minerals to animals and people weren't taking them? So I had to learn, my major was in animal husbandry and nutrition, how to make rations to increase fertility, how to eliminate birth defects, how to eliminate diseases. I mean, we could eliminate arthritis. We could rebuild cartilage in animals. Crippling diseases in animals we could eliminate and prevent just by giving mineral supplements in animals' food. And humans living on the same farm, we wouldn't do that for ourselves. And so that was what made me curious about it. And so got through halfway through agriculture, applied for and got into veterinary school. 2 years later, I'm halfway through veterinary school. I graduated ag school, so I started taking pathology courses. And by the time I graduated veterinary school, I was halfway through my postdoc, which is like a PhD degree in pathology. Then went on to get my postdoc in pathology and became a naturopathic physician in 1982, and been a primary care physician and a naturopathic physician since then. So I've used everything I learned in the animal industry, my human patients. You know, George, it works.
Well, it does work, and you've made a dent, you know, being as forthright as you have been in this industry, Doc, because I've talked to people that you have helped personally, and, I mean, you've made a world of difference with all of them.
Well, thank you for the feedback. I appreciate it.
My mother's 86, and she is a believer in the things that you do and practice, and she has been since I can remember. The docs used to send me articles every time a holistic doctor would write an article about this supplement or this or that. I used to get these when I was in my 20s from her. I mean, she has been that way. Now she's 86. She acts like she's 45. Funny story, I've told it before, but she served Thanksgiving dinner to a senior citizen's place on Thanksgiving in Detroit, and she called me up and said, gosh, Georgie, they're so old. I said, Mom, you're 86. Let's go to Walter in Washington. Welcome to the show, Walter. Go ahead. Walt, you with us? Poor Walt, he's not there. Let's try our buddy Bill, though, in West Hartford, Connecticut. Hey, Bill, go ahead.
Yes, hi, George. Hi, doctor. Let me get right to it real quick. All right, the synopsis, quick synopsis of my situation. Two things. I have OCD, anxiety disorder. I say that because I take anxiety psychiatric medications, Klonopin, Prozac, and Buspar. And the other thing is I do have diabetes type 2, adult onset diabetes that George mentioned earlier. And the good thing is about that, with the diabetes, my A1C for the last 9 months is 6.3. It's never been higher than 7.0. About 2 years ago. I've had my diabetes since I was age 50 in the year 2000, so I've had it for 15 and a half years. I have never smoked in my life at all, ever. I don't drink. I'm a non-drinker. I've never used illegal drugs. The bad news is I have a hard time exercising. I try to get good sleep, in spite of this great show, Coast to Coast AM. I'm going to go to bed tonight at 3 a.m. and sleep till 11 a.m. to get 7 or 8 hours. And I do have one last thing, obstructive sleep apnea. For the last 5 years, I've used a CPAP machine, which does help tremendously. So I hope that's enough to give you an idea of my situation. I do take, by the way, metformin in the morning, breakfast and dinner, 500 milligrams, and lisinopril
Calm down, Bill.
Lipitor. I couldn't think of it.
All right, and we're going to probably run into the break, Joel, but I'll let you, you've got about a minute and a half to start.
Sure. Well, I first have to find out, Bill, how much you weigh.
Well, let's put him back on.
25 pounds, 5'10".
How much?
225 pounds on 5'10".
All right.
Okay, so you're about 40 pounds overweight. Okay. Also, I have to ask you, did you have asthma as a kid or any skin problems, any eczema or dermatitis?
No.
Okay, any constipation or diarrhea, bowel problems, appendix out?
No.
Okay, good. All right, well, it's very simple. Your brain needs 90 essential nutrients. If you're missing any of them or any of them are low, you're going to get everything from OCD, you're going to get anxiety attacks, panic attacks, schizophrenia, psychosis, ADD, ADHD, depression, manic depression, bipolar disease. All these things are caused by nutritional deficiency of the brain. Type 2 diabetes is a simple nutritional deficiency of a single mineral. We've known this for 80 years. It's a very easy disease to get rid of, okay? And so there's two things you have to do. Stop the ongoing damage, which means you have to stay away from any source of sugar, which means fruit and fruit juices and dried fruit, fresh fruit, things like molasses.
Hold on right there, Joel. We're going to let you finish up with Bill when we come back at the top of the hour and a final hour of phone calls with Dr. Joel Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com, or you can call 1-855-949-7234.